Sawbones is a show about medical history, and nothing the hosts say should be taken as medical advice or opinion. It's for fun. Can't you just have fun for an hour and not try to diagnose your mystery boil? We think you've earned it. Just sit back, relax, and enjoy a moment of distraction from that weird growth. You're worth it.
All right. Song is about some books. 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4.
And welcome to Sawbones, a marital tour of misguided medicine. I am your co-host, Justin McElroy.
And I'm Sydney McElroy.
Sydney, you look extra fantastic today. What is going on with you?
Well, thank you, Justin. I must say, you're looking pretty sexy today yourself.
So kind of you to say, dear.
I can only think there's one reason for that.
Is it my cigarette?
That's right. It's your cigarette.
Sydney, I only smoke Camel unfiltered cigarettes because they are the ones that make you a man.
Or a woman.
You know, Sydney, the best thing that I've found about cigarettes is the health benefits. I went to my doctor. I said, I'm stressed out, having trouble breathing in my T-zone. I'm worried that I'm not getting enough nicotine in that area. And you're a doctor. I bet you can guess what he told me.
I bet he told you to smoke a smooth cigarette.
Yes, a cigarette brand cigarette. That's what he recommended to me. Cigarette brand cigarettes, when you care enough to buy the most generic. You know, the great thing about cigarette brand cigarettes is get them in the hands of kids. You know, so many kids
look like, I'm sorry, wait, what?
Yeah, so many kids these days look like little wieners. Not literally, but, you know, they act like little wieners.
Well, wait, I mean, you don't mean really little kids, right?
No, I think if you can get, here's what I'm saying. If his hands can clasp, he's ready to make ash. That's
no,
my thing.
No, okay. I can't. I'm sorry.
What?
I'm sorry. I can't do this anymore.
What? We barely been going 2 minutes.
I know. No, I don't mean the show. I mean, I can't do the sponsorship.
Well, why? Sydney, we've worked so hard to build our program to a point where we have sponsors on it, and now you're going to blow it up for us.
Do you really think that cigarette brand cigarettes was the best sponsor for our first sponsored show?
Okay, maybe not.
We're a medical show. I'm a doctor. I can't recommend that kids smoke cigarettes. I can't recommend anybody smoke cigarettes.
I can think of a few people who medically should smoke cigarettes.
No, I can't think of anybody who should medically smoke cigarettes.
I can name a bunch off the top of my head.
Who?
Robots that use cigarettes for fuel.
Okay, fine.
There's one.
But robots are already so cool, right? Why do they need cigarettes, really?
Have
you thought about that?
Crap. Yeah, you're right. Sydney, since we're not going to advertise cigarettes and therefore have to lie about them, why don't you tell me the truth about tobacco?
Well, the truth about tobacco is that...
it's cool.
No, okay. We are not endorsing cigarette smoking. Why do I have the feeling I'm going to be saying that a lot during this show?
I can't imagine. Okay, tobacco. Well, tobacco, because the cigarette hasn't been invented yet in ye olden times.
No, and it's true. It's fair to say that people have thought that tobacco had medicinal properties for hundreds of years. They were wrong, but they thought it did. You know, a lot of our topics, Justin, goes back to like Europe from the origins of this, or perhaps we go over to somewhere in the Asian continent. But tobacco is actually kind of a local
Huntington, West Virginia, home of tobacco.
No, not Huntington.
Home of tobacco usage, maybe.
Definitely. Tri-state
tobacco
area.
Capital of the world.
Well, and in this area in general, smokeless and smokeful.
Smokeful tobacco, from the makers of cigarette brand cigarettes.
Very popular. The most species of the tobacco plant, Nicotiana, are native to the Americas.
Huh.
There are some that are native to Australia, but most are from the Americas.
So when did we start hearing about tobacco?
So people were probably using tobacco products for hundreds of years before we really have record of them. But our understanding of the use of tobacco comes from probably when Columbus sailed the ocean blue. Do you remember when that was, Justin?
It's going to be 1492.
Very good.
Thank you.
So when Columbus arrived, he found that the Native Americans were already growing tobacco and using it for, you know, pleasurable purposes for smoking as well as for medicinal purposes. Actually, the word tobacco is kind of a misnomer. That wasn't the word for the plant itself.
Oh, yeah?
No, it was actually the word for the pipe that he observed of some different Native American tribes people using to smoke the tobacco. It was called tobacco or tobacco.
Huh, interesting.
And so he thought that was what they were calling the plant itself.
So what's the plant called?
The plant has lots and lots of different names. I think it would probably depend on where you were in North America at the time as to what you called it. But petum or betum or kojioba, all kinds of names. A bunch of different names that don't really sound anything like tobacco.
Obviously, we didn't just randomly pick up a bunch of leaves and roll it up and take the road to flavor country. We had to get there. So how did it start?
Well, we have to assume that before we have records that the Native Americans were using tobacco, that they did, you know, they were familiar with lots of different plants for, you know, various medicinal uses as well as for, you know, food and all kinds of different things. And so they probably had already figured this out through generations of just experience. And, you know, Columbus and the people that came along afterwards just simply observed it. He did note that people would burn torches with tobacco leaves to disinfect areas, was the thought. And that if you burned a torch of tobacco leaves in an area, it could ward off disease or a fatigue, interestingly enough.
Not true.
No.
Okay.
That never stopped anybody, though.
I was about to say, aha, tobacco. See? I told you so. It has its uses.
They did see that if you would use enough of it, as opposed to we traditionally think of tobacco and nicotine-containing products as making us jittery and kind of hyping us up. But if you use enough of it, it would actually cause loss of consciousness. And it's actually hypothesized that they use this as an anesthetic during one of our favorite medical procedures on this show, trepanation.
Oh, that's drilling a hole in your head.
Exactly. Good job, Justin.
Thanks, Sid. I pay attention.
Are you supposed to do that now?
No.
Very good.
Not just a hat rack, folks. All brain up there.
You could also use tobacco. In those days, they would use it. They would mix it with lime or chalk and kind of use it as a toothpaste. So it was used to whiten your teeth. And this is actually still done in India to this day. It's called Mishiri.
Huh.
And there are tobacco-based toothpaste still sold there.
All right, Sid, what else? Tobacco sounds like a wonder drug so far.
Well, it actually became that. By 1500, everybody was trying to find things to use tobacco for. The Portuguese explorer Pedro Alvarez Cabral started reporting on all the different ways you could use tobacco. And a lot of these started out as topical, meaning that you applied them to your skin. So,
meaning they were about the government shutdown.
Exactly.
Topical cures.
That's it, Justin. That's exactly what I meant. No, you put them on your skin. So for like ulcerated abscesses, fistulas, sores, anything.
If you're listening to this years from now, the government shutdown's going on right now. Maybe you're in a Mad Max-style future where the government has been shut down for years and you won't understand why that's a topical joke. It's topical because it's happening, right? Just so you know.
Right. And right now, it's more of just this funny joke.
Right now, it's a joke. But to you, it was the dawning of the apocalypse.
Anything
I'm sorry.
But a joke. It was
How
just
are you
that...
listening to podcasts?
For us, it's just that time period where we couldn't go to the Smithsonian.
Hey, listen, I don't want to get political here.
This is when it began to... tobacco was known as the holy herb.
Yeah.
Yeah. because you could use it for the most desperate cases. I think it's interesting because you could use it for the most desperate cases. It almost certainly wouldn't have worked, but I guess you still could use it.
Sure, why not? Give it a shot.
In some semblance of, you know, evidence-based medicine, a Spanish priest in 1529 began reporting on different physicians' experiences with tobacco and how they used it and what their findings were. In particular, he found four physicians. So that's a not a big N.
Not a big sample size.
Not a big N is what we would say in research terms. But they gave him some tips. So you could inhale the odor of fresh tobacco leaves to cure your headaches.
Possible?
No.
Okay.
You could take either green, fresh leaves or powdered leaves and rub them inside your mouth to prevent colds.
Okay.
Or you could take some like crushed tobacco plant, warm it up, mix it with salt. And then let's say you have a big neck mass you need to remove. You could put that on the, you know, the wound that's left after you remove the neck mass. Specifically for neck masses is what I found.
I'm guessing all that's made up.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't advise it.
I'm seeing one of my favorite things here, Sydney, on your list of uses for tobacco. Why don't you hit me with that list? See if you folks have noticed a pattern yet on our program.
So at that point, tobacco began to be used for many different things. It was an aid to digestion, used as a narcotic, as an antidiarrheal, used for fevers, could suppress your appetite, used for colic, nephritis, hysteria, hernias, dysentery, toothaches, falling fingernails, worms, bad breath, lockjaw, even cancer.
Oh, Sid, first off, cancer. Cool.
Exactly.
Bad job, guys. Secondly.
Yeah, bad job.
Bad job. Secondly, Sid, that sounds a little bit, to me, kind of like a cure-all.
And what do we know about cure-alls?
They cure
nothing.
Every time, America, wake up. Wake up.
And I guess you could kind of look at it, you know, there are a lot
Wake up!
Thanks, Justin. There are a lot of bad ideas that we saw, you know, in previous episodes we've talked about spreading across the Atlantic in our direction. Well, this was a bad idea that we sent right back over that ocean in the other direction.
Take that, Earth.
So probably the earliest documented use of tobacco regularly in Europe was in about 1554. And they started, the first application was for something called yaws, which for these purposes, let's just say is a disease similar to syphilis in some respect.
Okay. Is it still around?
Yes.
Okay.
I believe. Not here. Good. Not something I've ever come into contact with.
Fair.
But still exists. Yes. But what's interesting is even then, as it began to spread to parts of the old world where there was a little bit, I mean, what we would think of, I guess, as research at the time, not what we would call research today, but where people were actually trying to think about things.
just thinking. That was the baseline in the 1500s.
That's not what we're about here in America. We're about doing. Forget thinking. Over in the old world, concerns were being voiced about safety even then, even as early as, you know, the late 1500s, as tobacco use began to become more, you know, widespread. People noticed that if you use too much, it could cause you to be dizzy and it could cause you to pass out. And botanists began to, you know, really study the plant and found that it contained lots and lots of different toxins. But so did a lot of the medicinal plants we used at the time. So it seemed pretty much par for the course, and nobody was particularly bothered by that.
Good. Good. I'm glad tobacco could get a foothold. Glad the witch hunt hadn't started yet.
I think it's interesting.
Back then, you could still smoke at the laundromat or at a fancy restaurant or at the internet cafe.
Right. Those things didn't exist. Now, actual witch hunts did.
Oh.
To be fair.
That's true.
The main use, I think this is interesting, for tobacco became something that was called noli me tangere. Tangere?
Tangere.
Not tangere.
Okay.
But this was a condition that probably was actually a lot of different illnesses that we all called the same thing because it caused a similar skin condition. So like It's anything that would cause like a slow spreading ulcerative lesion on the skin. So like lupus, syphilis, a rodent carcinoma or a basal cell carcinoma of the skin probably all would have looked like this. And tobacco pastes were made to put on these lesions. That was very popular at the time. This is actually how we got the name nicotine, was through its use for this condition.
For Noli Me Tangere?
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
In 1560, the French ambassador to Lisbon, Jean Nicot, was given a plant by the keeper of a prison that he was visiting. It was a plant that he was told was originally from Florida. And he took it back home and he planted it in his garden. Well, I have to assume as the French ambassador, he probably didn't plant it himself.
Probably had his servant.
Yeah, he probably paid somebody to plant
Pierre.
It.
Or Pierre. Pierre 1 and 2. Plant this, everyone's name.
All
Pierre.
Of his servants are named Pierre.
Pierre 17, bring me my lotion.
I love the return of your French accent.
Yes, it's been too long.
So... one of his pages had a skin lesion, and this plant, I should note, grew very well in his garden at home.
Oh, come, Pierre 13, let me look at that. Oh, it's terrible. I must do something. Hold on.
So he went and got some of this.
Where is that Florida not the oranges, the plant from Florida, not the fruit, the plant from Florida. Yeah, it's excellent. Where is this accent?
So he put that all over that skin lesion on his page's face, and reportedly it got better.
Yeah, let me just... Oh, fantastic, Pierre. It smells great, too. You're going to be a real hit with the ladies, Pierre, 13.
It was noted at that point that that because it helped, he thought it would help for a lot of different things. So he just sent it to all kinds of different friends with, I'm presuming, various skin lesions.
Pierre 13, give this to your wife, Pierretta. Let her try it on her lesions.
It was for, he sent it to people for leg ulcers, for facial tumors, for scrofula, which, again, let's just compare it to kind of a tuberculosis Sorry. Type of thing.
Sorry, did you say scrofula?
Yeah, kind of a, just think
that
about it like
that is the grossest disease name ever.
There's like big lymph nodes and it's related to TB. Just think, anyway.
Scrofula.
It was also, there was one guy who almost cut off his thumb accidentally. And they just kind of packed it back on and wrapped it in tobacco leaves, and reportedly it healed. So
nah, I don't know. I mean, I'm sure it healed. I don't know if the tobacco played a part.
No, and these were all like topical uses. You would again just kind of mash the tobacco leaves with oil, and then kind of apply it in like a poultice or a paste. And because Jean Nicot sent this to so many people. And that was really what popularized it in that part of Europe. It became known as nicotian, which became nicotine.
Which is of course, French for Nicot's salve. I bet.
Do you want me to give you that one?
Yeah, just pretend it's right.
Okay, I'll give you that one.
Appreciate it. Did people catch on yet that it was a little sketchy?
Yeah, physicians were actually already starting to grow wary of it. They were cautioning against using it too much, although they were still advocating some small uses. One physician, actually, Vaughn, in 1612, wrote that, I thought this was great, tobacco well dried and taken in a clean pipe, fasting, in a moist morning, during the spring or autumn, cureth the megrim, the toothache, obstructions proceeding of cold, and helpeth the fits of the mother.
Sorry, the fits of the mother?
What I'm assuming think? Hysteria.
Okay. Sure, why not?
But even Vaughn said, try not to abuse it.
Take it easy.
Just on, you know, those spring or autumn mornings, moist mornings.
Get the barometer out. Check the humidity. If it's under 60, no smoking.
But if you're using the word moist, just go away.
What if I need to do it to learn how to blow smoke rings or pirate ships? Does it
blow pirate ships?
Yeah, like Gandalf on his on his weed.
You can't do that.
No, not yet. It's been too it's been too dry. I haven't had enough moist mornings to practice.
It is an autumn morning almost. Wait until it's an autumn morning.
It's an autumn morning.
Is it fall?
September 20th.
Holy crap.
Yeah, I know. Time flies.
Interestingly, at the same time that there were still physicians in different parts of Europe advocating its use, and certainly the New World. In Russia and China, they started banning it. Smoking was punishable by death. In China, decapitation. In Russia, you could be banished to Siberia.
You know, Sid, some people might say smoking's still punishable by death. Think about it.
It's true. It's poignant, not funny.
Yeah, think about it.
Yeah, let's not think about it. It's a thinker. Don't think about it.
Fair enough. Okay, you're right.
But the thing was,
I slowed things down a little bit.
The thing was, you'll enjoy this more. Yes, while it was being banned and people were becoming, you know, concerned about it, it is addictive. So everybody was smoking it.
Right. We love it. We can't stop. Won't stop. You don't tell me what to do. It's look, feel this humidity. I'm ready. I'm going to smoke this.
And that's the great part is that, I have to imagine, and this is purely my hypothesis, that because everybody was addicted to it and wanted to smoke it so badly, the people found lots of reasons why maybe we still should. For instance, during the London plague outbreak in 1665, children were instructed to smoke in their schoolrooms.
God, that would be the... If I could see that once, I could die a happy man. I just want to see a whole classroom of kids smoking. Someone make me that poster.
Do you think they had like a chart, like they would show in front of the class, like, here is a diagram of smoking.
Here is how you do it. No, that's the wrong end.
Do you think they had a song or a rhyme or something?
Mommy says to light my cigarette. I'll grow up big and strong. Yes, you bet. That's good.
That was great. That's good. That was really good. I bet that's exactly what they sang during the plague outbreak.
Possibly. Maybe. They didn't sing anything except plague songs. Do you know any old plague songs? Any old traditional plague songs?
Are we going to discuss Ring Around the Rosie and whether or not...
Oh, I didn't know that. What is that thing?
I think so. I don't even remember. No, I think that's what it's for. That makes, it's for the plague. Yeah. I believe it's for the plague.
Check out our Ring Around the Rosie episode coming in the coming months.
We'll deal with that at some point. In the 1700s, that's when they began to advise blowing smoke in your ear for an earache. Have you heard that?
I've heard that.
Yeah, that's still something people advocate.
Is there a way to ear candling? You think it's a
It's probably a
treatment?
Similar kind of idea. Ooh, that's a whole other thing we got to do.
No, people still do that. People suggest a lot of things for us. We appreciate all the suggestions and keep them coming. We're trying to avoid things that people still believe in because nobody wants to listen to a podcast where someone calls them a dookie head for a half hour.
Right. We like to make friends.
We like to make friends, not enemies. So no matter what
and influence
dumb,
people.
No matter what dumb thing you believe in, as long as you aren't from caveman times, you can enjoy our program.
And maybe even if you are from caveman times, we don't discriminate.
Some of that stuff is fake, though. You're just going to have to wait. Hopefully, we'll still be recording the show in 50 years. And then you can learn what a dumbo you've been.
Long after the government has been shut down. You know, scabies was originally treated with tobacco. Actually, what I read was an infusion of tobacco and water. And I read infusion, so I assume they mean in the vein.
Ugh.
Ugh.
Altru.
Because of safety concerns, though, in the 1700s and into the early 1800s, it was converted into like a salve, so like a nicotine salve that you could just kind of rub all over you.
Nice. It's quicker than smoking, too. You can do that at work. You rub yourself in a nicotine salve.
You just cover yourself in a nicotine salve. Nobody will think that's weird. Just keep that in your desk drawer. As late as 1882, they were still recommending it for outbreaks, a smallpox outbreak. All the residents of a small town were issued tobacco.
That's a cool town.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
No. Stop it.
No. I don't care what Greece told you. It's not cool. They also, as they began to, you know, through the years, as we began to realize that maybe tobacco smoke inhaled wasn't a good idea, weed still advocated its use per rectum.
Ah, good.
Did you know that was something we used to do?
Not until this exact moment.
The tobacco smoke enema was very popular for a variety of illnesses.
This was also the first usage of tobacco to be banned in the workplace.
Thanks. So it was used for worms. Ew.
Gross.
Strychnine poisoning.
Sure.
It seems like you might want to act a little faster
than
that.
Seems like a weird way to spend your last few moments.
Quick. Bend over, pull down your pants. Let me light this.
Wait. Okay. And then tell my wife I love her. But also the other thing.
Constipation. Again, seems dangerous. Mm-hmm. Strangulated hernias. Hydrophobia and tetanus. Actually, in the 18th century, tobacco smoke enema was the principal medical method used to resuscitate victims of drowning.
That is the dumbest thing. We have talked about a lot of dumb medical. That might be the dumbest thing we've ever talked
Quick,
about.
Quick, he stopped breathing. He stopped. Blow smoke up his butt.
Maybe that's what we should say when someone's lying to us. Hey, do I look like I'm drowning? You don't need to blow smoke.
I like that. I like that.
Look like I'm drowning over here?
That'll be a joke only you and I will get. And our listeners.
And our dear, dear friends.
It was noted in 1913, The Lancet, which is a medical journal that's still around. Many of you will probably know that. There was a chemical in tobacco smoke that could kill the cholera bacillus. But at the same time, they also noted that smoking would hurt your immune system. So you're probably still better off not smoking. And this was when we started to notice that, like, I don't know, maybe in a lab you could kill cholera with tobacco, but don't smoke. It's a bad idea. Mm. And that was, you know, that went along with the time, because in the early 1900s, more and more we were doing studies that started to show a link between lung cancer and tobacco.
A proposed link, a possible link, a theoretical link.
Well, no, I mean, it's a real link. Okay, we just didn't know yet.
It's a real link.
No, and it really put a damper on. In 1926, they started doing studies into injecting nicotine subcutaneously into patients with Parkinson's. They found that it seemed to make things better, like, for an hour or so, and then things went back to the way they were.
That's very strange.
They also tried to advocate at the time that perhaps you were less likely to develop Parkinson's if you did smoke.
Now, see, I've actually heard that. Or no, you know, I'm thinking of Alzheimer's.
No, they didn't. They could never support that. They actually, there were studies that showed smoking was linked to more incidents of Alzheimer's. But again, a lot of this, there were other factors they weren't controlling well for. So
it's got to be hard to control something like that, though, right? Like,
yeah.
For a tobacco study.
Well, and you also have to look at the time period. Everybody was smoking.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was a lot harder to do a study. You know, because it was just normal. It was part of, you know, you grew up, you got to, I don't know, 14 and you started smoking.
Mm-hmm. Got a job at the docks.
You went bowling and you dated a T-bird and you smoked a cigarette. I don't know. But by 1950, we knew definitively that lung cancer was definitely linked to smoking cigarettes. And everything started to go downhill for big tobacco at that point.
Oh, man.
In 1958, I thought this was kind of interesting. A retrospective study was done looking at all of the different uses for tobacco from, like, the mid-1800s to the early 1900s. And they decided that some of those were still successful.
Okay.
So some things that in 1958, a study said were successful uses of tobacco, applying it to bites of poisonous reptiles and insects. Hysteria.
Not a real thing.
Not a real thing.
Kind of calls your study into question.
Still didn't know that. Pain, neuralgia, gout, hair growth, tetanus, ringworm, rodent ulcers, wounds, respiratory stimulant. You could also use it for constipation, hemorrhoidal bleeding, strangulated hernia only by mouth, they made sure to note, not right. Per rectum.
Yeah. No, that would be less than desirable.
Malaria. You could dislodge materials from the esophagus by inducing vomiting with nicotine, and nasal polyps.
Hey, Sid, what's a rodent ulcer?
That's that basal cell skin cancer that I mentioned earlier. That's what it used to be called. It actually, that's a what we would call a Clang association for those medical students out there.
Get back to studying.
If you see a question on your boards where there's an ulcer that looks like a rodent bite, that's a basal cell carcinoma. That's what they'll tell you it looks like. I don't know. Having never been bitten by a rodent,
No, we stay away from those. It's 2013.
I have to imagine that it was much more likely back in like the early 1900s to have been bitten by a rodent. And so then therefore, if you got a basal cell skin cancer, you would say, it looks like that rodent bite I had once.
Looks like one of those mini rodent bites I have right now. They would do everything with rodents. They made chairs out of rodents.
How horrified are you at the idea of a rodent bite?
I can't understand a world. They're small. I can't understand a world in which you would allow yourself to get in proximity. He would have to drop from the ceiling like Mission Impossible in order to bite me. I'm always looking for rodents all the time.
In the 1900s, there was also a salve made of burnt tobacco leaves, just as one last use that was still kind of popular. Tobacco leaves, lanolin, and they used it for ringworm and athlete's foot and ulcers and wounds. And it also made a good metal polish, by the way.
It's 2013, Sid. What are we using it for now?
Pretty much the only thing that we're really using nicotine-containing substances for are to wean people off of other nicotine-containing substances. So you can buy nicotine today in a patch, in a gum, in a lozenge, perhaps in an electronic cigarette, an e-cigarette as it's known.
If you want to look cool.
And those, again, are all just used. The only indication medically is smoking cessation, so to get people off of tobacco. We know definitively that tobacco is linked with lung cancer as well as a myriad other problems. And so don't smoke, kids. No matter what we told you in the beginning of this episode, don't smoke.
We want you to get off the nicotine, but we hope that you never get off of our program here, Sawbones. Sure appreciate everybody listening and really, really appreciate everybody tweeting about the show. It just means the world. Thanks to the gals from Stuff You Missed in History Class for their very kind promotion of our program.
Absolutely. That made our day. Thank you.
A lot of you tuned in as a result of that, and we sure appreciate it. And thank you to those of you leaving reviews on iTunes. Critical Fault, V. Wolf, Pudding Sugar Duff, Because Satellite, Becca Satellite, here it is, Cheese Car Lover, Prof. O'Leary, Ian? Sure. Shawnee D17, Action Pink, L.A. Wilbs, Chayum.
Chayum?
Chayum.
Chayum.
Joel W. Ruiz, Lucy Osborne, Schrodinger's Ketchup.
Catsup, I believe.
Catsup. And so many others of you, thank you so much for taking the time out to do that. It really means the world to us. If you could go, if you haven't yet, and leave us a review, that would we'd sure appreciate that.
Absolutely. And you can always tweet at us as well at Justin McElroy.
She's at Sydney McElroy, S-Y-D-N-E-E. Also want to say a big thanks to the taxpayers. They made up our theme song. It's a song called Medicine. So
just for us. They wrote it specifically for us. That is not true. That is not true, but we do love that song.
Tweeted them. They're the taxpayers, and thank them for letting us use their music.
Or just tweet at us. Did we say that? At Sawbones?
At Sawbones. Yeah. That's our Twitter handle. So follow us there and tweet about it. Make sure to keep sharing the show. Make sure to join us again next Friday. Until then, I'm Justin McElroy.
I'm Sydney McElroy.
And as always, don't drill a hole in your head.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.